I remember telling a buddy of mine who's a real, he's a huge Carolina fan. I mean, like, biggest you'll ever see. And
I would say something, but we're being recorded. He's probably at church. I got, like, Eagle fans.
Yeah, I got some funny stories about him. He was a big Jeff Gordon fan too, my dad hated Jeff.
Let me guess, Dallas Cowboys for the pros.
Steelers. Oh, well, hey Nate, by the way, I don't know if he listens or not. I don't know if he's been listening or not, but. I had said, hey, welcome to the other 167. Garrett Lale here with Ben Pierce, pastor at Fuquay Varina Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
Talking football. So, but yeah, he and I were talking the other day about after they won 3 or 4, I said, you know, I was looking at the schedule. They should be favored in every game. I don't know by much, but they've got a lot of sneaky games. But they've knocked a couple of them out. Duke's going to be one of their tough ones.
Duke, Clemson's going to be tough. Duke and Clemson's only two I'm worried about.
And I think they got State, don't they?
They do have State. I'm not worried about that.
State's bipolar.
We'll show up. They're we'll always show up. Be. Well, hey, look, as a State fan, there's only one game a year I care about.
Yeah.
And if we win that one, you can win lose the rest. Keep your job, boy. You get a raise. But then again, I don't know that they're going to win. The way they've been playing lately, they ain't going to win another game. But they're bipolar. They may show up this week and look good. But I think Carolina's a great team. I don't think they are a stellar great being. I think that there's still a fine, thin line between the Michigans, the Georgias, maybe Florida State. But then you start getting down to your other undefeated. I don't know where I'd put Ohio State and Penn State. Maybe I'll see you this weekend when they play. But it is kind of an equal parity. I mean, there's a lot of undefeated teams, and Carolina being one. So I got to take my hat off as much as I hate it.
Well, it was the way the season's playing out. Then I was just looking at it the other day. It's playing out like it could be very eerily similar to 1997, which is Mac Brown's last year.
Right.
I remember that. And because they were, you know, they got to, you know, their preseason maybe around 20th, and they won a few games, and they just kept clipping off those mediocre opponents, and then they got to Florida State in like week 8. Mm-hmm. And if things play out, it's kind of the same way on out to the ACC Championship where they play Florida State. So it'd be the same thing, and I hope it ends differently this time if that's how it goes. But
I got a funny story. I won't tell it. Renee gets mad every time I tell her about it. That's why Mac Brown left, man.
Yeah.
He's sitting there almost undefeated and looks up and ain't nobody even in the stands for a Duke Carolina game. That's it.
It's time for basketball.
Because the blue-white game was that night, and everybody was at that. And I'm kind of like, y'all don't deserve a football program. If that's where you're going to be. We deserve something because we've gotten squat for 40 years, and we've liked it.
Y'all are loyal, though. I give y'all that.
Oh, they're loyal to a T, to a phone. And, you can think of some things there of, kind of changing gears and going into what we normally talk about is, sometimes loyalty can be a good or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of you can be loyal to a fault, to some wrong beliefs. Maybe it's something that you've held of, I've always been taught this. Well, always we need to be molded by the scriptures, and we always need to be kind of soft-hearted and soft-minded. Not so, I think there are some things we need to be, I hate the term dogmatic, but there are some things that we need to be.
I don't know what dogmatic means. Don't worry about it.
I am staunch. You're never going to change my mind. This is non-negotiable.
Okay, apparently I do know what it means.
So, is the Bible God's infallible word? Okay, I'm dogmatic about that. Is Jesus the only way? All right, I'm gonna stand firm on that. But now when we start getting down to some of the other things, all right, now let's be smart about this, and let's let the scriptures be our guide. But let's not get to the point of, so loyal that, you don't believe exactly like me. Well, you must be less of a Christian, or you must be less of a disciple. Yeah, give me a break. I don't know that that's necessarily, and I guess that's what I was getting at Sunday, is let's not make Christianity a, I got to believe a certain code of ethics. I got to believe a certain things, and then I'm a Christian. No, yeah, there are some things that Christ died for me. I'm saved by grace through faith. Those are non-negotiables for sure. But if Christianity is more, if Christianity is only, I got to believe a certain list of rules, and then I got to do all these do's and don'ts, who wants that?
Yeah.
That's, no, I go back to a relationship is something that's growing. It's something that's vibrant, and it's something that it looks new every day.
Yep.
You know, because who knows what the Lord's going to bring up today, or maybe something He's challenging you in, or maybe something He's growing you in that, you know, I see it in you a lot that, you know, as you're growing in the Lord, He continues to bring up things, and you're continuing to wrestle with things. And that's the way it should be. You should see that.
It's funny. We hadn't talked a whole. We texted a lot up until about Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. My coach is getting ready for playoff football, man. Yeah, money time.
I was very concerned by about Thursday at how obsessed I'd become over that. But it's kind of interesting that as you were talking there, I thought, you know what, I like the conversation that we're starting. And I feel like I'm going to be behind if I don't admit something to you. So in the middle of this, I didn't fall asleep until 3 or 4 a.m.
Good gracious.
Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Game was supposed to be Saturday.
You watching game film?
I was playing around on our Playmaker app
and
testing different route concepts.
Wow.
And I may or may not have gotten on Gabe's PlayStation and tested some combos on Madden.
Throw an X.
I did everything. And then the worst possible thing that happened, because I had a lot of other things I needed to do once life moved on. And the game was supposed to be Saturday, and I was going to be done Saturday at 4 o'clock, whatever. And I knew we were going to lose. I mean, look, I wanted to put everything I could into it.
We knew, real good team.
We knew it was. I was hoping for a Rocky moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocky 2 would have been great. I would have settled for Rocky 1.
Yeah, I get Rocky 1.
We got Rocky 4.
Yeah.
We were Creed. And
you got Creed. Russia. Yeah, we you got Creed Kiel. And Ivan Drago.
But I'll say this, and this is a weird – you talk about wrestling with things. This is what I wrestled with this week. I was so first of all, getting so into the football thing felt like that was coming from God. I felt like He was pushing me on that and that was – there was – I didn't know why. I really wanted it to be that I had the brilliant magic pill that was going to make us win.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't think that was going to be it, but that was the only thing I could really think of that I could try to do in the meantime, so I tried to come up with it. And sometimes you just put up your best fight, and you get whipped around. It was one of those kind of deals. But there were some cool things that came out of it, and I got to see I was thinking, and I may get to this in a minute, about Philippians 4:13. It's like,
I'm claiming
we got that. We got that version of it. It was endurance and all that kind of stuff. We had two. One kid had to go to the hospital. Another one's out for a year, and it was ugly. It was a bloodbath.
Sheesh.
But I felt guilty along the way because I didn't have the time to put into reading scripture as I was hoping. I was texting you early last week saying I wanted to. I was excited to get into some of the scripture that we had talked about, and.
Right.
I didn't get to that, and at first time I can have shot one of these things with you that I haven't finished the sermon. I started it.
Right.
Gabe and I were listening to it on the way to Durham, but we got close enough that it was getting to the point where it's like I wasn't even concentrating on the sermon anymore, and I didn't want to do it when I wasn't.
Oh yeah, I gotta get my mind right.
Right. So I got back to the. I got home, and after the game was over, and I listened to part of it again, and then I kind of got tugged by God in a different direction away from the sermon from something I heard from it. And I've still not gotten around to doing it. So I remembered saying on the first show, sometimes you get busy and sometimes you feel guilty about, I didn't get around to it and I didn't get around to talk. I prayed a lot this week. I prayed for some selfish stuff. I prayed a lot about football and the kids doing good things. And you and I talked about what am I allowed to pray for? What's the line? And the same preacher, by the way, that I've been cussing in front of.
Yeah,
by the way,
how'd he do?
I can do
he
all
let
things.
Five hey, slip.
I can do all things through Christ, because I tell you what, 47-0, and I don't believe I said a single cuss word out loud.
Yeah,
maybe under my breath.
Thought plenty of them. He probably did too. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, I told that preacher before. I told him the story of that. I said, by the way, because he did the invocation this week. Me and Coach straightened up and let him do the invocation before, and I was telling him, joking about what an idiot I felt like last week, and so we were. I was a little bit more, a little better behaved this week, but. Yeah, I was also impressed with Gabe and the way he handled it. I was worried that he was going to be, he gets worked up over those things, but he wasn't nervous about the game. And I'll tell you, the game itself was chaos.
Right.
With people getting hurt. Our line wasn't blocking, so Coach quickly took all my backs and made them, my biggest backs and made them linemen. And I didn't have any spare parts. And Gabe doesn't usually handle improv very well. He likes things to be structured. And, man, he rolled right with it, didn't make a single mistake all day. He didn't get a chance to make any plays because the quarterback can't throw the ball if he's laying down. And
I mean, was going to say,
I'm trying to watch
you're running for your life. It ain't.
I'm watching, because I had spent so much time on this, I'm watching the routes play out, and I'm trying to say, okay, here's his first read. Is it there? And by the time I could see where the first read was and was it there, he'd already been tackled. It's like, well, I clearly couldn't have done any different because I didn't even have to catch the snap, and I still couldn't get, right. You know, get to that read. So, ugly day, but the point that I was trying to get
at. You sound a little bit like the Panthers.
See, I didn't have to watch the Panthers at all. Blessings everywhere, right?
God's working it all out.
That is two things God's given me in the last 2 weeks. I missed last Sunday's game because I was game planning.
Right.
And then this Sunday we were playing.
Well, and you know, the thing of it is, the Panthers, hey, they started out 14-0. You might want to watch the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm...
But I was sitting there thinking, all right, Dolphins going to get mad and play in a minute. And boy...
I heard a kid at the game say, the Panthers are tied with the Dolphins. And I thought, don't tell me that. And really don't tell me that, because I don't want to get my hopes up. But this was one of those examples of where I didn't get as much face time with God, so to speak, or one-on-one time maybe as I'd like to this week. However, it felt like I was doing what he wanted me to do. And as it turned out, when it was all said and done, and I got a minute of quiet time Sunday night, and I said, remember that all that free time I had earlier in the year that I said I had to find something to occupy it? I filled it up way too much.
That's right.
And I just caught my breath and I said, I got a lot of free time and now I kind of know what I want to do with it.
Right.
You know, and it was pretty cool. So all that to say, I'm not fully caught up on Sunday. I do know where we were going with it and I'll catch up. But I just wanted, I don't like to just listen all the way through it to say I did it. I like to make sure that I've got it peeled out.
No.
But to your point, yeah, the doctor, that's something, especially the Baptists have a bad rap on that we are so, so strict on so many different things and so unlenient on so many things. And we are. And I think that's not – there are some more – I don't want to use political terms, but you know what I mean, kind of views out there in some churches that I don't necessarily agree with. But at the same time, I mean, there are people that would say you're supposed to be physically in church every Sunday, and if you miss one to go coach your kid's football team, then you're not putting God first, right?
That's right.
And you know what? There's a little bit of me that does have to wonder, did I go a little over? I mean, is that where is that line? But I think that's one of a million examples probably that we could go with that. But where is that line of where, okay, this is where we can't compromise? And
well, I think it's one of, again, it all goes back to, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks where we may come up, and it's that word legalism versus relationship. And legalism says, okay, I got to be in church every single week. And I got to make sure that I'm doing this, and I got to make sure that I look right when I'm doing it. And because I'm, and if you listen to that, this is a performance. And that's not what God's interested in. He's not interested in a performance. He's interested in a heart that is passionate for Him. And so, so I think it's one of, I never want to fall into legalism. At the same time, I think there are times when you can say, all right, where is my total love and my total time going to? And I think one of the things, and again, whether this is hits you where, you know, you may find it's about right or it might not be, I don't know, I'm going to leave that to you and the Lord. but I think oftentimes what I like to come back to, and it's an old saying that says, you spell love or you can tell what's important by your time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's not only your time. I think it's your time, your treasure, and your talent.
Yeah.
All right, show me your checkbook and I'll show you what's important to you. Show me your calendar on your watch or on your, used to be, show me your daytimer.
Yeah.
I'm showing how old I am. Show me your Palm Pilot. Let me really take us back. And I can show you what's important to you. And then also, let me see what you think about. What are you dwelling about? Or what's going on in your mind? You know, are you at work and at the back of your mind, you're thinking, man, if I put that tight end and I shift him out a bit, you know, you have to really balance that. And again, I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. I think the main thing is get into that place of, okay, that I know the Lord has my first fruits, so to speak, and the Lord has my first and my best. Mm-hmm. I think that's why oftentimes people, and again, this can be legalistic, people start off their morning seeking the Lord because I'm freshest in the morning. I'm not.
I'm not either.
So I don't even, I'll read something in the morning sometimes, but it's by, usually it is, I've been up for 3 or 4 hours before I jump into all right, now I'm really wanting to seek the Lord here because my brain is just, I'll just be honest with you. But now at night, I'm straight up. That's when I'm at my freshest, and that's when I'm probably reading the most, writing the most, and seeking the most as far as that goes. So I just want to be at my best or my freshest. Not, it's got to be first thing in the morning. Now today, some people would argue and say, well, David said, early in the morning will I seek you. Okay, that's great. He also said, no, at night I meditate on you, you know, in the night watches. So I think there goes the show for a man who is after God's own heart. Man, God was always on his mind.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing is, we get to that place, then it's not so much a punching a time card or I got to do my morning devotions, I got to do my evening devotions. No, it just becomes I'm thinking about you, yeah, or you're on my mind, or I'm passionate about seeking the Lord and what you're living for. It kind of goes back a little bit of what we talked about Sunday when we talked about witnessing. You know, a lot of people.
That's about how far I got, yeah, by the way. If you want to know the clip, okay. I think I got about pretty comfortably through that, where I'd say I probably heard all of it.
So we talked about suffering, then standing up, and then what one of the things that I really wanted folks to understand is 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Well, that means to, and it was kind of interesting, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, it's combining Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and Romans 12:1-2, because of God's mercy, we present ourselves as living sacrifices. Combine those two, that's setting Christ apart or sanctifying him as Lord in your life. And then it's always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And what I made an argument is when Christ is the Lord of your life and you truly love him, witnessing is not a burden. Witnessing is not something, oh, I got to do this, I got to go share Jesus, oh, why have I got... No, it's almost as natural as this conversation.
It is, yeah.
I don't have to sit here and think about, how am I going to talk about Jesus? It just comes out when you talk, you know?
So I can give an example. I'm tap dancing around too much of what I've, how my week's been, because, man, I tell you what, I've had... This has been a week, and it's been a good week. It's been... Right? It's. I felt like... The last 5-6 weeks, really, since we started the show, God's been on this wild ride where you're just spinning me all over the place. I got 100 different things that I'm thinking, and I'm trying to make sense of what. And most of the time, I don't have a clue what he's doing with any of it. I've had really strong faith. There's a difference, though, and it's like I see that you're in control, and that's cool, but can you take it a little easier on some of these curves? I'm getting a little car sick back here, all right? I just needed to – I know you're in control, but whew, I'm tired. Yeah. Now how Gabe feels sometimes, and not so much Reese. She's pretty fearless. But
yeah.
But I think in the, you know, the last week or so, I've never felt crazier than I felt this week, putting all that time into football stuff. But when I sat down and caught my breath Sunday night, it hit me in about 10 minutes. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever really know why I did this. And it sounded exactly like what I said about the podcast. I don't know why I'm doing this, but a week later, I know exactly why. It took about 10 minutes of reflecting for me to look at it and say, well, I know exactly why I did it. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what came out of it, and it was a laundry list of stuff that it affected how I want to do things with the kids moving forward, what I want to do with my work moving forward. It affected a lot of things. So it's like, yeah, that was God. I don't think that was me, you know, just going off the deep end for the fun of it. I think what God kind of wanted to make the point, if you can spend that much time strategizing and moving pieces around and all this kind of stuff for a youth football game, why are you trying to dance around all these other things when that's obviously what I told you, that's what you want to do, is what you're good at, that kind of stuff. So it was a really weird, deep week, and I didn't want to really go there on the podcast. I didn't want to take the whole hour on it.
Right.
But it was... kind of an example of sometimes it's acting on faith and you don't always know where it's going to land, but you're cool with it. And it's like I said, at the end of it, it's like, well, now I've got something I've not had in, I can't tell you the last time I've had this combination, a combination of having free time and knowing exactly what to do with it. Okay. I've had times that I had stuff I wanted to do, but didn't have time to do it. And all the time in the world, no idea what to do. But right now is a cool balance where it's like, all right, I got some time. I know exactly what I want to do, and let's get at it. You know, let's go.
So let me ask you this. So in that fine balance between, all right, I got free time and I know what I want to do with it. And maybe what I'm kind of getting at is that I mean, would you classify that as a peace, Or is it just a, hey, I found my purpose and I'm looking forward to it? Because I know that's, to me, I was going to say, well, if you couldn't figure out what God had you doing the coaching the football for, I can tell you a couple things as I've heard them. I mean, they're obvious. I mean, I'm sitting here and I wasn't involved with it much, but I know they're that obvious. And part of it is, okay, you've learned what coaching football is all about. It's not necessarily the wins and the losses. It's about impacting those young men and teaching them how to be men, showing them what a Christ follower looks like as a football coach, showing them, I mean, you've got a new passion and a new purpose for coaching. Mm-hmm. And it changes how you coach from here on out, I promise. Because it'll change whether you're a coach or whether you're your job or whether whatever you're doing, when you've got that right purpose of, I'm doing this for the Lord, and Lord, I'm here, as this is a mission field. Every one of these kids coming on this ball field, putting on that, putting on a helmet and shoulder pads, it's a mission field. And okay, and I want to make sure to be faithful to what God set there. And so, yeah, I knew God was working on you there. And so, but to get to that place to where, all right, I got free time and I know what I want to do with it, and God, this is coming from you. To me, that's a place of peace.
Yeah, it's a peace is a great word for it. I think that's exactly the word I'd say, because it's there's nothing more, I don't know, there's a lot of, both sides are frustrating. It's frustrating when you know what you want to do and don't have time, but it's also really frustrating when you're just sitting there and you can't think of what to do and how to do it.
Well, that's when that mind races.
Yes, yes. And my work's something that I haven't really talked, I don't talk a whole lot about the show at all, but I've had a really, really hard time figuring out what I wanted to do exactly with it, because I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, and I'm trying to figure out how to convey that to people so they understand it, because what I've been experiencing at work a lot is, people come to me and they say, I don't quite understand exactly what you do. Tell me. And I tell them and they say, oh, that's really cool. And they're really excited. But people don't understand what it is I do. And that's because I didn't really understand what I was trying to package it. And a few weeks ago, God kind of said, I think from listening to the playback and how much I talk about God's not complicated. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, if I'm not complicated and people can't figure out your business, then why can't you tell it, right? Why don't you let me tell it? And I felt like for the last couple of weeks, I was kind of waiting to hear, you know, I didn't want to push that. I wanted to kind of wait and see if he ever said anything. And in the last week, the football stuff combined with some things that I heard back from some clients and things like that, I started to figure out, it's like, no, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to sell what people want, what I think people want.
Right.
And it turns out if I tell them what I really am doing, they like that more.
There you go.
And I should just start being.
Agreed.
You know, and I enjoy doing this kind of stuff. I like talking to people about stuff and saying things that nobody else is saying and getting different takes. And I've enjoyed that kind of stuff and teaching people. It's not that I know anything that nobody else knows.
Right.
It's that I've been blessed by having a lot of really smart people around me that know stuff and that can share stuff. And
it's that. And I think it's also, I mean, look, there's something that goes for not being afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And being willing to, you know, identify with everybody else, and then being able to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not the only person struggling with this. And I think oftentimes people feel like that I must be the only one doing this. Well, no, we're all in this same, and we're not that far apart, even though you look at it and you think, no, we're all created in the image of God. Now, we all have different personalities, but when it boils down to it, I don't, kind of like God's not that complicated. Well, when it all boils down to it, we as humans, we're not that too far apart, man.
Gabe's mom and I were, and stepdad too, were kind of all torn on whether or not I should coach or not, because he likes, it is his crutch to have dad around and all that kind of stuff. At the same time, I felt like if I could, I wanted to coach to see if I could get a little closer. I could teach him the playbook more if I'm at practice and that kind of stuff, you know. But as the season went on and I got more and more into it, it became more and more clear to me. I'm super glad that we ended up deciding for me to do it.
Right.
Because I learned stuff about him I'd have never learned if I hadn't been there. I didn't know how much heart he had. I really didn't have a clue how much heart that kid had. And I also didn't know just how gutsy he was, which is a little different. I mean, he would throw that body around like a pinball, and if I had that body, I wouldn't do it. He's the skinniest dude on the team. I was 30 pounds heavier than him at his age playing, and I still ran from everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it was... It takes a little bit of right here that you got to be just a, I don't want to say crazy, but that's really what it is. or you got to have that to be able to say, don't care, I'm going after it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one last thing here. It's probably the most important, and it's what kind of led the text that I sent you, I think on Friday, that I said, you said it may be a good idea to remind, have a conversation with Gabe and remind him how proud you are.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, that was cool. And now,
I had had a God had showed me some things I needed to work on as a parent.
Right.
And I'll tell you that telling me I need to improve my parenting, it, coming from anybody, is a challenge because that's the one area I've got a lot of pride. I try really hard, and I know I'm not the best, but I try really hard in that area. But I will listen to it from him, I guess. Yeah. But it was interesting, though. I felt bad kind of realizing that I could do this one simple thing a little differently, and it would help a lot of things. But it wasn't – I didn't feel – I was thinking about this in case this came up today, how I'd describe it. It wasn't that it wasn't conviction. It was conviction, but it was gentle conviction. It was it was one of these things like, hey, I know this is going to kind of hurt for you to know, but you need to know it. And now that you know it, you'll realize what a mistake it was and how to fix it. So it hurt a little bit, but not in a terribly guilty kind of way. But it was also good to see, like, okay, this is something I need to do a better job of. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think part of that is, I mean, if you stop and think about it just for a second, that, you know, I don't know that the Holy Spirit has to drop a sledgehammer. I think sometimes he can just give you a quiet, I mean, a still small voice is what the scripture says. Sometimes it's a still small voice, and it's just like our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when you're raising your children, there are times you're going to have to drop the hammer. Mm-hmm. There are times when a gentle correction, just to say, you know, and I think that's where, you know, when the Bible talks about discipline, maybe this is something that, you know, to consider. When the Bible talks about discipline, it's not always just, okay, I'm going to stop you from doing what's wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my dad, I'm going to wear your tail out. Yeah. And if you do this, man, you are going to face the wrath of Leon. And I appreciated every spanking I ever got, so it wasn't that he was abusive. Yeah. I look back and I probably deserved a whole lot more. And he, you know, but at the same time, it's not stopping or correcting what's wrong. It's also rewarding what's good. It's guiding them to, this is good behavior. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to, instead of dropping the hammer of, man, you are no good parent. No, God's not doing that. What he would do is just say, hey man, have you thought about?
Yeah.
You know, and for me, that's when you sent that, and you sent that and said, oh, look what was on my calendar today to do. And I was like, well, look at that. That's just God just confirming to say, you know, this is you're on the right track.
Yeah, seriously, I might put this out on the Instagram page or something because I screenshotted it and I sent it. I had my calendar reminder, and this was ironically at like 3:45, and it was for 4:00, which is when he gets home from school.
Yep.
I had on my calendar from the night before, remember to tell Gabe how proud you are of him when you get a chance, how proud you really are. I tell him I'm proud of him all the time.
Right.
Like, I mean, I tell him and his sister and their little brother too.
Sure.
That I got to tell you about him in a second. I tell them it all the time, but it's always not love you. And I do mean it, and I say it all the time, but I don't ever dig into why I'm proud.
There you go.
And how important, because everybody around me knows how important they are to me, and they know it, but they don't know it on that level. I started to realize that mom and dad and their mom and all these other people know how much I care about them more than they do probably, and I need to change that. That's, you know, because I don't want to be I don't want them to see that side, right?
But being specific's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, I'm so proud of how hard you've gone out there and played because, man, let's just be honest. I mean, even if you're on the losing team, you have persevered. Yeah, I mean, you can think of several different qualities that are commendable that your team showed, even though they weren't, you know, didn't hold up the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. Yeah. They still had several things that you want to commend them for, and that's what, hey, man, you didn't give up. You played hard. You guys never quit. Man, that you learned how to play this offense, and this offense is not – and so next year you're going to be even better, those kind of things. So, I mean, always look for those, and I think that's where Ephesians 4:29 kind of comes in. It says, you know, don't let unwholesome words come from your mouth, but only that which is good for – edification, building people up. Mm-hmm. And so you really want to choose your words wisely of, hey, let's make sure we're building folks up on this rather than, because anybody can tear anybody down. I don't take much.
Yeah, and I think I saw that a lot from coaching. Coaching in general at that age, you're so used to high speeches and yelling and all this kind of stuff. Well, kids that age, most of them don't respond very well to that. I don't know why they do it that way. And I'm not saying that that's what I saw all the time, but I saw the coaches doing that, and I thought that's how it was when I was a kid too.
Right.
But I don't remember learning a whole lot from it either at that time either. So it's, I don't know, all kind of interesting stuff to learn from it. But it was, at the takeaway from it was, back to Philippians 4:13 last week, and a lot of what we talked about with endurance, and it is that a lot of times God will put you through some difficult things,
right?
And you will think that you are doing this for your big triumphant outcome, and He's going to help you move those mountains and be NFL quarterback and all this stuff. And you'll get to the end of the road and you'll say, really, I did all that so I could lose 47-0, but I was going to learn how to be a better dad and learn more about who I am as a person, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's kind of the way it works a lot of times. It doesn't give you the answer that you were expecting it to be, but it ends up being probably more significant and meaningful in your life than what you had dreamed up you were doing this for.
Mm-hmm. I think therein lies... Maybe one of the things that that you're realizing too is, and this is something that is so crucial for each and every Christian to realize, is there are things that we find so important.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it is, well, you got to go out there and win every game. We got to go undefeated. We got to hold up the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. We got to do all these things. But God is more interested in your character mm-hmm. than He is your win-loss record.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that. And I think it's one of sometimes those losses help build more character than wins do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, maybe even case in point, you know, the team that you and I were hoping would get beat 80-0, and think of the team y'all were playing, it would make my heart glad to see a team that's kind of arrogant and cocky. I'd love to see them get beat like a drum. Well, you know, God's more interested in making us more like Christ than He is necessarily blessing us with every blessing.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, yeah, you may not get that million-dollar job, or you may not get that, you know, you're driving a Ferrari and living on a yacht life. I'd rather have, and I think therein lies where we got to, as Christians, all right, what's important to you? And I think go back to Matthew 6:33. If you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, the rest will be added unto you. Well, that rest isn't always, Robin Leach lifestyles, rich and famous.
Yeah.
It is, okay, now I'm beginning to see what really matters.
Well, I think I said in some conversation or on here or something to someone that a lot of times when you're, if you just chase God, the closer you get to God, the less stuff there'll be in your way, because there's just not that many things. It's just harder and harder to get there. The air gets
thinner. It's rarefied air.
Yeah. Right. So there becomes less people, you know, less things bumping into you and getting your way. The closer you get to God, things get simpler. And I felt like that was maybe a big step in my process here in the last few weeks, is that things got real simple for me this weekend. It's like, all right, let's get at it then. Let's go. I'm excited. And I tell you, I learned something else too. You know, we had almost an entire episode about pride and how to handle compliments even, and mm-hmm. when people Gabe showed me, he's got it nailed. I gave him the longest "I'm proud of you" speech I could think of.
Right.
I mean, Sunday night is really trying to, I mean, I was so proud of everything I had in me. I got done. You know what he said? Thank you.
Yeah.
That was it.
Appreciate it.
That's how you handle compliments. You just say thank you.
Yep.
There's not much else to say than that.
Two words. Move on.
But, and I'll tell you the funny one. So my youngest has been kidnapped. Mom mm-hmm. has taken him, and I have not seen him in about 4 or 5 days, and I'm not going to see him for about another 5 days after that. I'm not sure if he's going to remember me. But I was telling my daughter, Reese, the other day how proud I was of her, and the thing I've always said about her is that she's the toughest. I'd drop her off anywhere.
Yep.
And I use the example, if I drop you in the middle of downtown L.A., I wouldn't worry.
She can handle it.
She said, well, why is that dangerous? And I said, well, there's just a lot of people that are, you know, into violence and all kinds of stuff. Not only did she say she would survive, she said, yeah, I would be back. I would be there. And I'm not sure about those bad people, because they would have to straighten up, or I would take care of them.
Yeah, she's tough now. Right. She's tough. I know her. Yeah, she's tough. And I think that's, played her to strengths.
Yep.
That's good parenting. At the same time, don't let a unguarded strength become a double weakness.
Yeah.
Meaning, that's an old saying, but it's the truth that sometimes we if we know our strength and we play so much to our strengths, that we can become arrogant in those strengths. Mm-hmm. We do that in our walk, if you stop and think about it. In our walk with the Lord, we think, okay, I've really got this down pat. And you know, just think about it. Humility is one of those things that just as soon as you begin to brag that you got it, well, you no longer got
That's
it.
That's right.
And, you know, so unguarded strength is a double weakness. Mm-hmm. And so we have to guard against areas that we feel like we are growing in or areas that we're doing great in. Because if not, that's where the enemy will slip in. Because, like I said, I mean, it is you are always on point. It's kind of like I used to use the illustration: if a guy goes into National Guard and he gets called in and gets deployed, but he gets deployed to guard the armory in Hickory, North Carolina, or if he's been sent over to Israel, mm-hmm. which one do you think he's going to be a little bit more on guard at? Mm-hmm. Well, Israel, because my goodness, what's going on over there? Versus if I'm guarding the armory at Hickory, North Carolina, there probably ain't much going on.
Yeah.
Well, we become complacent based on, and we need to always remind ourselves, we're in a spiritual war. And there's an enemy that would love to knock our feet out from under us. There's an enemy that would love to blaspheme the name of Christ or have our actions blaspheme the name of Christ. So we always got to guard against, especially those areas we feel like, oh, I've got that.
Yeah.
The second you get there, woo, look out.
Yeah, that's dangerous, and that's an area that I hadn't bumped into that problem just yet. Self-righteousness is a new threat to me. I hadn't had to deal with that one, but yeah, kind of back to what you said. Where we were starting to go a minute ago before we turned into like a little halftime show for football talk.
There you go.
But when you talked about, I liked the way you said, "Oh no, here in the sermon is, oh no, here comes another evangelism
great
sermon."
There we go.
But it definitely becomes easier to talk about God. It comes up more often. The thing that, you know, again, Saturday at the game when the preacher gave the invocation before the game, I kind of pulled him aside and I joked to him. I said, "By the way, I said thank you for not asking for the win." And then I told him about the podcast and explained my mess up and all that stuff. And I said, "I was telling my preacher this week, is it okay to pray about the game?" He said, "Yeah, just don't ask for the win." So thank you for not doing that. But it's little things like that where it comes up a little bit more often. You know,
right.
Coach had even said something about it to the players before when we started the prayer and all that. You know, it's whatever you believe, this is something we believe you should do and all this kind of thing. It finds its way into conversation more. And you get to a point where it's kind of hard not to talk about it.
Because it doesn't come up.
Right. It's too much of your – it's hard for me to get through very many conversations in a week and not – have it come up at least a couple times that I do this thing with you, mm-hmm. or that I do the thing with football or whatever else.
Yeah.
It's a part of your life, and like you said, you're going to talk about what's important to you.
Yeah, you talk about what's going on in your life. You talk about what you're passionate about, and I think it's one of when you sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, as 1 Peter 3:15 says. Yeah, it doesn't have to be forced; it just comes out. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, okay, how am I going to talk to this guy about the Lord? You'll be amazed that when the Lord has your heart, yeah, he has your mouth as well.
So I'll tell you from Sunday's sermon when we were here was my pregame plan for Sunday that I came up with on the fly. Picked Gabe up, and we had about a 30-minute drive to Durham. I was going to try to listen to the sermon. Gabe asked a lot of questions in general.
Yeah.
So we only got probably 20 minutes through it with all his questions.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I did pause and kind of explain to him on the sanctifying your heart, I felt like the purpose of it was, I said, all right, for the next 30 minutes, let's kind of take our mind off of football and let's ride and let's think about God a little bit and let's do that. Now, when we get to the field, we'll turn that off.
Time to turn the switch.
And let's turn the switch. And I was trying to prep the whole thing. Well, at that point in the sermon, I paused it and I said, "Do you know what that means to sanctify God in your heart?" And he said, "Kind of."
What does that mean? That's tough.
I said, "It means that no matter what happens, God's always first and his glory always comes first. That means you go out here and you play as hard as you can this game today. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. However the game goes, God's, you know, we can lose by 80. God's still God and he still doesn't take away any of the other things. And it was that kind of a thing. But it's just no matter how important this game is to you, you know, no matter how important this job is to you, no matter how important, as I said last week, this kid is to you. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, no matter how important it is, God still is more important. Always remembering that.
And I think, too, along with that is, and it's okay that, I was just sitting there thinking, you know, in my mind, do we sometimes lessen the value of it or that we don't care as much? And that we don't care. I mean, hey, you're putting in time designing plays, playing them on the Xbox, making sure that, hey, is this going to work out, or the PlayStation or whatever. I mean, you give your time. You do your work as unto the Lord. And so work, and I want to do my coaching as unto the Lord. So I want to give it everything I got. It doesn't mean that we don't care, meaning that if we get blown out by 80, so what? No, I care. It's just that, and I think one of the things that God's always going to be concerned about is, how did you react to it? Because I can lose 80 to nothing, still be a little upset, and still be just, you know, and not be a jerk, not show my backside, not sin against God. And I think therein lies the whole gist of this thing is, okay, as I walk through life, I don't want to sin against the Lord. So whether I win by 100, I want to be a good sport, and I want to be somebody that is, you know, does the right thing. Or whether I lose by 80, I still want to be that person that, okay, people can look up to and realize, yeah, there is a hope that they have, even if it isn't, you know, that people can always see Christ in us. That's what I'm kind of getting at.
Yeah. I think that was part of the game experience for me this week, too, was that I've put that much effort into things a bunch of times, and
right,
almost all of them, they end that way, honestly. I mean, you aim high enough in your goals, and you're going to strike out 99% of the time. But it was a different way of experiencing, honestly. And I think I looked at Gabe, and he was doing the exact same thing, and it was kind of interesting. In fact, I told him this on the way to the game. I said, first thing I said when we got in the car, I said, are you nervous? And he said, a little bit. I said, good, me too. I said, you should be nervous. I'm not surprised you're nervous. I said, but the really cool thing about this is I get to teach you how to handle being nervous, because I promise you I'm just as nervous as you are. So watch how we do this, and I'm going to be your guide to get through this. I've done it. And I tried to do that, and I'll say he sort of mirrored me pretty well. But something I'd said last week, joking about the bad language, I said, I'm going to pray a lot more this week during the game, because if I can't, you know, it's not just...
Can't curse, I'm
can't curse. Yeah, that's right. But it was funny. I never got that worked up in this game, and it was chaotic, and things were crazy, and I was focused on doing what I needed to do, because I didn't want to get yelled at. Coach will yell at me as fast as he will a player.
Right,
no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm trying to stay out. There was one play he wanted to call that I didn't put in the playbook, and he said, what number stick? I said, it's not on there, and I thought he was going to punch me.
Right.
It's like, well, you told me to put in what I wanted to. I didn't see where that would fit. put in every play that you want, but don't do more than this many, and these plays didn't work anyway, so I'm running out. But anyway...
when it's 47-0,
who cares?
Call whatever you want.
But the whole thing was a good experience. None of the kids got, except for the couple that got hurt. The kids had a good attitude about it. As the game got out of hand, Gabe never got upset, and he didn't really talk to me much during the game. I didn't notice him. He didn't make any mistakes. We didn't. It was a. Mm-hmm. At the end of the game, we kind of passed by each other on the sideline, and it was over. You know, it was 3 minutes left, running clock, and these are probably the first words we said to each other. I looked at him and I said, well, we tried, bud.
Tough
and
one.
He said, yep, and that was it. Yep. But neither of us reacted. And I've never cared so much about something and then not cared that much at the end of it. But the way I thought about trying to describe it is that there's a difference between feeling disappointment and sadness. I wasn't disappointed. I was disappointed, but I wasn't sad. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's necessarily the exact right combination of words.
Nope,
but
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, if you get back at it, let's go back to the very beginning or towards the very, very beginning. There's that peace again.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm disappointed, but I'm not so saddened that I got, you know, that I'm not going to be able to function tomorrow. I think it's also one of, I know the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and I know that God's mercies are new every day, and I know that, you know, there's just that that inner peace, that when you have that peace with God, meaning that my sins are forgiven, that I've been reconciled with Him, that peace with God creates the peace of God, that... Even if I can still be. And I think that's what the prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 3 and several other places, that he describes a tragedy. Okay, if the corn doesn't grow, I mean, this is an agricultural society he's in. If the corn doesn't grow, if the animals don't produce, or you know, if nothing happens and basically we're in a famine, even so, Lord, I know I can trust you. And there's that peace again.
Well, I need to tread lightly on this one, because I understand that this is over exaggerated maybe, but Sunday, you would say, is probably not a great day for me. I mean, wasn't a great day in that you didn't win the game. You, compared to how it could have gone, that was probably about as bad as that could go. But at the same time, and this is where I say, got to tread lightly with it, but if that's my bad days and I'm having pretty good days, you know what I mean? And that's maybe a different way of looking at it. But it's cool to see what you can – if that's the worst that – but at the same time, there can be – worst things too that can happen. But
I'll share this. I had a secretary one time, and I think the best way to put it is, look, I don't know that she was much educated past the, and she may have finished high school, but she had a heart for the Lord that was unbelievable. And this was her phrase that she would say all the time, even if it was something tragic or we got news that somebody had passed away or she found out she had cancer and she was going to be battling it. And this is the three-word phrase she'd say, in light of eternity, it don't matter, brother.
Yeah.
And that was, I remember the day that I went up there to see her and when she had cancer, she said, in light of eternity, I'm doing well. And I think that's, when you really have that eternal versus temporal, and maybe that's the phrase we've been kind of beating around today, eternal versus temporal peace. But when you have that eternal versus temporal, you totally understand that there are things that are important. I totally get it. I don't want to go out there and lose.
Yeah.
I want to win, and I want to win big. At the same time, it's not the end of the world. And then we have to make sure that, hey, the kids see that too. It's not that I don't care. I want to win, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we try to win. But if the clock turns 0000 and we're down by 3 and we end up losing, okay, we gave it everything we had.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said to you in my text. I mean, it wasn't a lack of effort from the kids that they didn't win. And again, I'm not saying this is talking about football. It's symbolic of what we're trying to go with this, but there were several plays that the kids, I mean, they made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes. But there were plays where the ball was thrown up to a kid that's – and we had a defender right on him.
6 foot tall.
He jumps as high as he possibly can. And Lord help his little legs, they can't get but 5'9" off the ground. The receiver's 6'1". And, I mean, you can't do – you can't coach
at 10.
You can't coach it better. Right, yeah, exactly. You can't coach it better than that. He was ready
to
be.
Play it better.
He executed perfect. And he even jumped at the right time. He just couldn't get high enough.
Right.
And it's one of those things that when I talked to Gabe after, I said, there was literally nothing you could have done differently. Nothing.
That's
not
right.
A single thing. But that is life a lot of times.
Yep.
You do something exactly the
way
you
should. You
go
out there and
should.
You do the best you can.
And sometimes you chase these rabbit holes. You don't know where they're going to go. And what you end up finding out of is it was not what you thought, but it was 10 times better and much more meaningful than what you were thinking. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of – I think of, there's a line in a song that I like says, the days I keep my gratitude higher than my expectations, I have really good days. And I think that's maybe a good...
Yeah, I like that.
It's not a Christian song, but it's I think that's
good.
A good line. I think if the days I can be more grateful for the things I got than mad about the things that I expected and didn't get...
And that's not a Christian song?
It's not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's pretty good. I think that could be.
Yeah.
Who sung it? Nickelback?
Ray Wiley Hubbard, if you want to look him up.
Wait,
but
Ray Wiley Hubbard?
Ray Wiley Hubbard, but Tread Lightly.
I got him.
Tread Lightly Preacher.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, was he ever on Austin City Limits?
Yes.
I know exactly who he is. Yep. I was on vacation, and he was on Austin City Limits, and I thought, I ain't watched Austin City Limits in for years. And he was on there, and I was like, oh, okay.
I'd say we could do an episode on Ray Wiley Hubbard, and I would love to know your take on not just
his philosophy.
His philosophy,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I think there's a book that I'm almost finished with. I've had it for a long time, and it's when I pick it up here and there, I'm not quite done. But it's kind of his autobiography, I guess you'd say.
Right.
Really interesting cat. I met him one time. We went up. He plays mostly in Texas and Oklahoma, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he was. In Virginia for
a
couple of shows.
I'll be able to tell you in a minute.
Well, I'll tell you, there's some interesting songs that he's got where if you read I don't know what he believes.
Right.
And I don't even know if he proclaims to know what he believes exactly, but he says a little bit of everything and he hits on some stuff that is really deep, but then he hits on some other stuff that sounds like I don't think I'm going to believe in that one.
Well, but hey, I will say, today my gratitude exceeds my expectations. I think that's pretty sound.
I know that he, we had a chance to meet him. We went up to Virginia one night and watched him in two shows. He was up here and we went, it was like a 3-hour drive between the two places, but we were roadies. And got to meet him, and he was as humble and kind and appreciative of someone like as you could ever see.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got some dynamic songs, what I would say. But it would be,
yeah, it might be a little rougher than. But I will
some,
say
there's some cool ones. I might send you a couple of them if you. I just say.
Oh, I'm
up.
On Spotify. As soon as we get done, my phone's about to burn a hole in my pocket. I can't wait to look him up and see, because I want to see if it's the same guy I'm thinking about.
It probably is. He was on Austin City Limits about 2 years ago.
Yeah. When you know they show. Channel 4 showed the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And if it's ever he's got long,
he looks like he's a weird looking character. I mean, he's got long, straggly, wiry looking
this
hair.
Might be the guy.
I think he's got to be. But he's really interesting. But yeah, I think it's trying to keep. If you look him up, probably one of the top two or three songs on his list is "Tell the Devil I'm Getting There as Fast as I Can."
I'm gonna look it up and see. I can't remember, but I couldn't believe it because I was like, because it was actually I was the only one up. It was late at night because Off City Limits comes on, 11-12 o'clock at night, or it's usually. And my junior in Carolina, Nate, was up with me, and Nate was like, I'm writing this down. I'm playing this song, and I don't know when I'm at the radio. So he was bound and determined he was going to be playing some of that. And I said, can you actually play that at the station? He said, he said, we have to deal with the FCC, but, you know, we get around some of it. Huh. If we need to play certain, well, they'll bleep it out or they'll do certain things. So
that's weird because I don't hear too many people who've heard of Ray Wiley Hubbard, and that's two this week that have
well,
said.
Well, I want to look it up and make sure it's the same.
It might not be. But I actually had a conversation with somebody else this week. I wore a hat that I wore from that concert that night, and I wore it specifically because I didn't think anybody would know what it was about. And it was the only black hat I had worn. It fit, and it was like, nobody will ask me about this. Nobody knows. First person I saw said, wearing a Ray Wiley Hubbard, because all it says is Ray Wiley. It doesn't say Hubbard. I was like, you know who Ray Wiley is?
Yeah.
two times that's come up this week in unexpected places. But, man, nah, it's been a really interesting week, and I think there's a lot of growth and stuff that I'm going through that I don't even really necessarily want to get so much into on the show because it's not supposed to just be about that, you know. But he's shown me a lot of cool stuff and taking me out of the way to do it. But
well, and it's amazing again having your eyes open to spot it.
Yeah,
that's the key. And you know, I dare say you look back over the last 5, 6, 7 years, he's been working. Mm-hmm. You just might not have had your eyes open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it goes back to kind of like that radio station. Mm-hmm. If I got tuned into 88 or 89.3, then I'm going to hear Nate's voice when it's on.
Yeah.
But if it's not tuned into 89.3, I don't know what I'll be listening to, static or something else. But when you're tuned into the Lord, you'll begin to see him move and you'll see his hand.
I heard a really cool quote from Steve Harvey. He's got some good stuff on YouTube here lately, like little shorts and stuff that he's done.
You know, he's a funny guy.
He is.
And some of the things he says and does. And then, he's
dynamic,
true.
Too. He's another dynamic one. But he has one that he says, one I saw this morning, said, when you ask God for something, it's kind of like ordering a package, and he sends it that day, but he only sends it to Faith Street.
Yeah.
You move off Faith Street, package might get there, but you're not there because you moved off into I don't know, and I've got doubt, and all this stuff. And that's probably a good way of putting it. I mean, I think if you're praying for good things, it'll be there. You just
you got to look for it.
You got to wait for it.
Yeah. And but I think it goes back to when you have your eyes focused upon looking for, seeking the Lord, you'll find him.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't know what we'll end up calling this one, but football, Ray Wiley Hubbard, I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff we've done with this one.
There you go. Football, Ray Wiley Hubbard, and peace.
And peace. Yeah, there you go. That's it. That sums it up, man. But, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm excited to get to work this week and see what God's got ready for me this week. I'm hoping he takes his foot off of that gas pedal and lets me catch my breath a little bit.
I was getting kind of sad, man. I said, dog, man, Matt texted me since Thursday with a question. I was like, man, football is really, he must be sitting up late burning the midnight oil,
man,
designing the plays. When I'll be honest with you, when I was coaching that age football, I found out my best play was turn around and pitch it to the fastest man.
Yep. And that was our problem. And I was trying to
get to the outside.
I was trying to get those fast guys spread out enough that we had time to get it to them because we just couldn't get it.
Just can't get it. But when you ain't blocking, you can't do it.
I about the second or third night, and I was in bed trying to go to sleep, and I just got back up. It's like, well, I can't sleep. Might as well go do something, you know. But it was crazy, but it was fun. So yeah, I wasn't bothering texting you this week because it was getting so deep. I was like, I'll just talk to you Tuesday. There's a bunch of stuff.
That'll work, man. Anytime, brother. Anytime you feel like it.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, sir. Enjoy, man. I love it. All right. Tell me when you stop because I got to look up.
Yeah, I'm working on here. Hold on.